One of the things that really surprised me about Kim, it being somewhat of a prophetic person, was that she said she was sick and tired of going to church meetings where prophets are trained. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, no, I can't go there anymore. The last time I went, I got fed up with it because it seemed to me like a whole bunch of Christians who are already walking with the Lord, prophesying over people who are already walking with the Lord about incredible things that they are supposedly going to do, but the next time we show up at the next meeting, all they've done is go to meetings with other believers and prophesy to other believers about the great things they're going to do someday for the Lord. So Kim said, I'm done with that. And she got a secular job, and she's investing her life in people who really don't necessarily know the Lord, and who you and I might say that's the last kind of person that seems to be a wise investment of one's time. And it's bearing good fruit. So I like that. That has integrity. All right. Bless you.
What? Oh. Thank you. Thank you. That's, you guys are so sweet. And Tim, that was awesome. I forgot I even said that, but that's true. You know, I have a tendency to get fed up with things, and it's mostly about here. I'm fed up with the complacency that kind of sets in here. You know what I mean? You have to work really hard to keep that off of you. But funny story. Can I tell you a funny story? Okay. So I wanted to get to know Carrie, and I'm kind of one of those people that I stockpile little gifts when I'm at the store. I buy this little thing and stockpile it so that if I want to give somebody something, I have something to give them. Okay, so does anybody else do that? Oh, come on. You know you do it. You know you're a re-gifter. Everybody's a re-gifter. Okay, so I buy these little things, and sometimes they mean something to me, but they don't have very much relevance to anybody else. Because I'm a foodie, and I'll buy like little jars of pickled Brussels sprouts because that's different. I just wanted to taste them, so, you know, and then if I think, oh, maybe they'll like that, I give it to them, and they're like, pickled Brussels sprouts, you give me that? And so I wanted to get to know Carrie, so I was like looking through my stockpile, which was depleted because it was Christmas time, and I had this truffle oil, and I'm like, truffle oil, well, let's see what she can do with that. So I came to her house, knocked on the door, no answer. Yeah, that knocked on the door, no answer. Knocked again, no answer. And I know there's somebody home because I can hear voices within the house. So I knocked on the door, and this little head peeked out and then laughed and then went away. So I knocked on the door again, and I said, hello. And the whole body showed up, and it was just a little person in diapers. And they went like this, and then they ran away. So I knocked again. By this time, I'm like busting a gut and laughing on their front step. And I just said, hello, can you open the door? Or can you get your mommy or daddy? And no, and ran away. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. So anyway, I only had like 15 minutes, and then I had to run. So finally, a grown-up walks by, and I'm like, oh, there's a grown-up. Bam, bam, bam. And it was Carrie. She comes to the door, and I say, here's this truffle oil. Okay, I'm Kim. See you later. And she looks at it, and then she says, wow, that's just what I need. I laughed all the way home, I had to go somewhere. I laughed all the way to my meeting, and I just thought, she is sarcastic and hilarious, and I just can't. So I brought you some more truffle oil, because I know you're out of the truffle oil that I gave you before. So I went and got some more for you, because I know you're out of it.
And I said, truffle oil, where did this come from?
It's wonderful. I don't know if anybody has anybody else ever been curious about truffles, or is it just me?
I know.
Why are they so expensive? Why is one little truffle for like $5,000? What's going on there? I have to find out why truffles are so expensive. Does anybody else ever think about stuff like that, or is it just me? No, you never wondered about truffles?
I thought it would be a good way to make money.
I did too. I think we should plant some pecan trees right out here and get some pigs and harvest the truffles. Oh. Anyway, so I know that doesn't have anything to do with anything, but I just wanted to tell you that story. It was hilarious to me. Okay, so anyway, I'm offering to give you guys something you really need and babysit for your kids and let you go out on a date if you want. That would be something that maybe your wife could really use. So just saying, I would love to do that. How many kids do you guys have, by the way?
Well,
five?
Brian and Becky went in on this.
Okay.
Seven kids total.
Wow, that would be seven kids total?
Eight kids with them.
Whoa. Well, you know, we'll do something. We'll have something, some fun.
We have five.
Okay. Well, anyway, well, thank you for letting me come and share. I'm very excited. I really appreciate Tim saying what he said. I feel like that's really my heart is to see. I feel like God is bringing an anointing to this place, but to Delaware, to get us out of the church and into other places to do what we're called to do. You know, I feel like that there are institutions that have people there that have been trapped by co-occurring disorders or addictions or mental illness, and they're prophetic people. Many times they're people who hear voices. They don't know why. Nobody's ever taught them that, hello, we all hear voices. You know what? We all hear voices. You do. You hear the voice of your own thoughts. You hear the voice of the enemy. You hear the voice of God. You know, we all hear voices, you know, but that they've been deceived into thinking there's something wrong with them. And I believe there's a lot of prophetic people that are trapped in places that should be released out, and somebody's got to go and find them and minister to them, amen? Just like you were. Oh, I love that testimony you gave. That was fantastic. Wow, it's really hot up here. Whew. Or maybe it's just a hot flash. I don't know. Whew, baby. Should have brought my fan. Hot stuff. Okay. All right, so okay, you can start the PowerPoint if you want. I was thinking and praying, and I felt like God was showing me that supernovas are like revivals. This is the Eye Nebula. Is that up there? Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
That's the Eye Nebula, and that's a real picture of a real one. It's not altered by artists. That is a real Eye Nebula. And I just felt like, in my mind, supernovas and revivals go together. And I mean, God dropped that in my heart and my mind and said, look into what supernovas, what happens, and figure it out and study it a little bit. And you'll see some, everything in creation is a revelation of God. So supernovas are too, right?
Yeah.
So of course, that makes sense, doesn't it? Right? Does that make sense? Are you tracking with me?
Yes.
Okay, so supernovas are a revelation of something God wants us to figure out. Okay, so here is a supernova, and when they burn out, did you know even stars can burn out? When a star's been burning brightly for a long, 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 long time and it burns out, it basically creates a supernova, and they're gorgeous. The pictures of them in NASA are gorgeous. Basically, a star reaches a phase when, because it's burned so hot and so bright for so long, it basically implodes upon itself and the core collapses, and then a cloud of gas and particles are released, and that's why you see that beautiful supernova that you see. And supernovas actually play a significant role by releasing heavy minerals into the atmosphere. Isn't that interesting? And they come into our atmosphere, like gold and silver and all the elements. They release them, and it penetrates our atmosphere, and it comes to Earth. What? Gold dust gets blown up out there in space, and then it comes to Earth. Something's going on about this that I haven't quite figured it all out yet, but there's something deeper. So there's benefits when a supernova, when a star explodes like that, there's benefits for us. And, you know, that's parallel to revivals. As you look at revivals of the past, even when a revival explodes, there's good benefits that came. Now, maybe some weird stuff happened that caused it to explode. We're going to look at that a little bit. But you've got to put on your thinking caps for a second. Are you tracking with me, or am I the only crazy one? You know? Okay, so when a revival explodes, people start going all over the place. And they start taking what God deposited with them, and they start using it everywhere. Isn't that true? So that's kind of the parallel. So anyway, I was thinking about all that and praying about all that, and God spoke this to my heart. He said, Holy Spirit synergy. And I thought, Holy Spirit synergy. What is Holy Spirit synergy? I thought synergy was an upwardly mobile business term. Okay? Holy Spirit synergy. Let me figure that out. So that's what God spoke to me. Holy Spirit synergy. Before I show you what that is, you can go to the next slide. I just thought I would give you, you know, the dogs, they understand what synergy is all about. They, especially when it comes to hamburgers or steak on your counter. That's, I mean, you know who's the brains of that operation, right? Who's the brains of that operation? Anyway, so, okay, so go to the next slide. Synergy. Synergy is the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. The term synergy comes from the Greek word synergia and synergios, working together. Okay, so in other words, 1 + 1 = 3. Right? With synergy, 1 + 1 = 3. So it supersedes the laws of mathematics. Holy Spirit synergy supersedes the laws of mathematics. Okay? So, and then I thought, I bet you Jesus knows all about Holy Spirit synergy. So let me look. In Matthew 14, 15 to 21, Jesus takes 2 fish and 5 loaves and feeds 5,000, and there's 12 baskets left over. That's Holy Spirit synergy. So 2 + 5 = 12. Right? Or, and more than that, because everybody got fed. There were 5,000 people, right? There was 5,000 men ate besides the women and children. So Holy Spirit synergy supersedes. Okay, so this requires more in-depth understanding by us, because we need to know this. We need to know this, don't we? We need to know what is Holy Spirit synergy and how does it work. Okay, here's what it's not. Okay, I've read your proposal. I haven't read your proposal yet, but I already have some great ideas on how to improve it. I have a feeling that's not synergy. That's not Holy Spirit. Have you ever tried to work with someone who, they just want to be in the driver's seat? They'll only cooperate if they can be in control. You know, have you ever tried to partner with somebody like that? You know, I think that the body of Christ, I think God is taking the body of Christ past some of those childish kindergarten things and taking us into an understanding of what Holy Spirit synergy really is all about, how to really work together, how to really value one another and honor one another. And I sense that you guys are on track with that in this place. I feel it in here. I feel a valuing of people here that is phenomenal. I'm going to just share this. We've been here for maybe 20-something years, 25 years, something like that, Tom and I. And I used to come into the parking lot 20 years ago or something, and of your parking lot, and pray for you guys and pray for God to send pastors who would, you know, cause this place to explode. And I think God did that. I think God sent you guys as a direct answer to those prayers. I think that's true. You know, I mean, I didn't know this church. I didn't know anybody in this church because we had just moved in there. But I just used to go to different churches and do that and just pray. And I just prayed for, you know, I knew God wanted to do a changing of the guard here. For somehow I knew that. And so I knew that it was time for God to do some kind of changing of the guard. And so that's what I prayed in the parking lot. And then next thing, years later, we find out, wow, God's doing it. Yep, amen. So that's cool. So it's my fault that you guys got sent over here. But you're having a blast, aren't you? You're having a blast. Sometimes. Okay. So one thing I know about Holy Spirit synergy, if we're going to step into Holy Spirit synergy, we're going to have to learn the art of deference. We're going to have to learn it so well that it's like breathing. And that it doesn't cause us to go, you know. When it's time to defer to someone else, you know, it needs to be such a well-oiled machine in us that we just do it naturally. We're excited to do it. We're looking forward to do it. It never causes that feeling. You know what that feeling is? Does anybody know what that is? You know, it starts out where you have to eat humble pie. And then it starts to be like, okay, pie's pretty good. I can eat pie. You know, I can taste humble pie. It's okay. I'm good with that. And then you start to enjoy it. And then you start to go, where's that feeling I used to have? That's learning the art of deference. Learning the art of deference means that you push other people forward. You make a platform for them to minister. Amen? We're going to have to learn that really, really well in the body of Christ. And I think we're getting there. I think God's got us on the right track. Okay, so let's take apart this word, this Greek word. Synergio is a Greek compound word. This is powerful stuff. It's a Greek compound word. How long am I supposed to preach for, by the way? I thought you guys had a counting down clock that said 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're done. Get out of here. And no, I don't want you to do that. I can't even see that clock back there. Okay, so will you just tell me to shut up and get out when it's time? You can do that. Okay. Okay. Well, it's all right. Okay, so, all right, synergio is a Greek compound word, okay? It's from two different words. The first one is sun, a primary preposition denoting union with or together by association, companionship, process, resemblance, possession, instrumentality, addition, partner. Beside, the King James renders it, beside, with, in composition with, similar in application, and including completeness. And then the other word in that compound word is ergon. And that's from a primary root word, to work or to toil or to make effort as in an occupation by implication and act. The King James renders it deed, doing, or labor, or work. Okay, so that's taking apart that Greek word just to show you that the Greek forms of it. Okay, so in other words, this is the simplified version. This is the Kim's simplified version of it. Synergion, where we get the word synergy from, to be a fellow worker, co-operator, to cooperate with, to help and work with, work together with, to be a partner to, or to partner with, to a co-laborer, co-adjutor. That means like a judge, you know, you judge together with, you decide together with, companion in labor, fellow laborer, helper, co-worker, to resemble or mirror in partnership, to complete the team as an equal yet complementary partner. That sounds like a marriage, doesn't it? That, or like what a marriage should be. That sounds like a powerful ordained connection where we're completing one another. That's what that word means in its two parts. Okay, so Pastor Kim, is synergy really in the Bible? Is the word synergy really in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. It actually is. Yes, it is. And here you go. This is the place where it's found. It's one of the places that it's found. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us, believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Okay, you can change the slide. For them. God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. That's Romans 8, 26 to 30. Did you know that that working together is all of that? That little word working together, that's the word synergy or synergio. That's the word that we're talking about. And you know, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit wants to come and be a person in your life who shows you where to go, who sends you places. You know, the Holy Spirit sends me on these kind of strange journeys. I go these places and suddenly I find myself in the middle of Dover Air Force Base. There I am. How did I get in? Someone gave me a card and said, you're coming in. So there I am in the middle of Dover Air Force Base. And I think there needs to be prayer here. So I start praying, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen later on, but I know I'm there on assignment. I'm there to pray. And God like hides me, and under the radar, I slip in unnoticed to these places because I pray hiding prayers over myself. Do you know what a hiding prayer is? Lord, hide me. Hide me. Let me be hidden in Christ so that when anybody sees me, all they see is Christ. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Hide me from the enemy. You can be hidden from the enemy so well, the cloaking device is on, that he can't get a good clear shot at you. He can't get a good clear shot at you because you're hidden. And when he sees you, all he sees is Jesus. And he goes, whoa, let me run away from that. You know what I'm saying? So I pray these hiding prayers, and then God sends me in these places. And I actually went on a prayer journey through Delaware because God was showing me where to go pray. And it was in connection with some people that are prayer people for the whole country. But we were praying at all of these certain locations all throughout each one of our states. Everybody was doing it in their own state. And I would find myself in a place, and there I am. I don't want to name any names and organizations because I'm not against anybody. I'm for people and against the enemy. Amen? So, but we would go to these certain places and suddenly realize, oh, this is a place where the enemy has tried to claim this ground. He's tried to claim this territory. So we would go to that place and we would claim it back in Jesus' name. And it was like an Old Testament prophet goes around on these journeys and finds himself. One time I turned around, there's this big stainless steel monstrosity of the idol of the Queen of Heaven. That's up in Wilmington. And suddenly I'm on this prayer journey praying in these places, and there I turn a corner and there's this thing right there. And I said, oh, we're supposed to be here. Obviously, we're supposed to be here. You know, are you following me? So sometimes when you're walking in this Holy Spirit synergy that God's talking about to us, it's God takes you places, and all you can do is be led by the wind. Jesus said that we're like the wind. You know, sometimes that's how it is. We're like the wind. So anyway, I don't want to get off on that too much. But so my question, if we're walking in Holy Spirit synergy, my question is, why, if God loves us so much, Tim does an excellent job of sharing God's heart that he loves us so much, he's crazy about us. And if that's the case, why doesn't he just squash the enemy for us? Why doesn't he just make there be no tragedy and squash the enemy and squash evil? Why doesn't he do it? Because he doesn't want to. It's all about partnership. It's all about Holy Spirit synergy. He doesn't want to rob us of the joy of setting the captives free. He doesn't want to rob us of the joy of defeating the enemy and seeing people healed and delivered. So he doesn't do that. He expects us to get in tune with the Holy Spirit, get a hold of this Holy Spirit synergy that he's doing on the earth, and walk in it. Amen? All right. So you can turn to the next one. Okay, so here's another one that's not synergy. Remember, guys, there's no I'll kill you before I ever budge an inch on any position in teamwork. That's not synergy, okay? Next one. So here is Pastor William Daddy Seymour. You've heard of him? He was the pastor of the Azusa Street Revival. How many of you know of the Azusa Street Revival? Only a few people? Never heard of the Azusa Street Revival. Okay, this was the beginning of where God poured out his spirit and created the Pentecostal movement, basically. Daddy Seymour was the son, the oldest son of two parents who were both slaves, and he was born, and he started to read his Bible and pray and hear God, and God showed him how to, like, allow people to walk in a greater level of being led by God's spirit than ever before, and it's gone all around the world. So Daddy Seymour believed in this scripture that said, I'll pour out my spirit, in Joel 2, says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit, the men and women, on men and women alike. So what happened was he began to hear God say that God wasn't reserving his power and his leadership and his anointing for just certain people. He's pouring out on men, women, young, old, black, white, male, female, everybody. And he wanted to release it in a greater way. He was one of the first ones that said, why is the church segregated? Why are there black churches and white churches? Why is there, and this was a time in the 1906, this was a time when there was terrible persecution in the South against black people. Is it still Black History Month? I think it is. I believe it is. And so this man was one of the first people to say, the kingdom of heaven is going to be very diverse. We better get used to worshiping together with people of diverse cultures from all different backgrounds. And we better stop trying to control the leadership of church where just only white men can do it. Or only black men can do it. Or only women can do it. Some churches, only women lead the show. Did you know that? That's true. Some places there's only women who lead the show. We better get good. He was one of the first ones to say, we better get really, really good at learning the art of deference. We better get really good at that because heaven is like that. Heaven, everybody's welcome. Everybody's doing what they're called to do. Everybody's walking in their anointing. Amen? So go to the next one. So here's some pictures of the Azusa Street Revival. That's actually a plaque. If you go to Azusa Street in LA, you can see that plaque right where the church used to be. And that's a picture of the old church building that they met in. And this lady, the next one is Florence Crawford. She was the secretary that was part of that church. And then the next one, there's a picture of Daddy Seymour, and I think that might be his wife sitting next to him. And then the next picture is Charles F. Praham. And then the last one is William Durham. Okay? And these people were all significant players. Florence Crawford and Clara Loom, there was four reasons why this revival came to an end and became like a supernova and exploded. Four reasons. First was Florence Crawford and Clara Loom, two ladies who worked in the church, decided that they did not like Pastor Seymour getting married to somebody else, and so they stole the mailing list and ran away with it. Yep. That's why it came to an end. How would you like to be known in history as the person that brought a great revival to an end? You know, Lord, we just forgive her right now. In Jesus' name. But that's what happened. And then there are four reasons. Where first was jealous leaders who stole the mailing list. Second was petty, ridiculous conflicts. They didn't think that Pastor Seymour should get married. Who knows why? Or maybe he married the wrong person. He didn't marry them. So the next reason was Charles Pranham came and he started preaching stuff against what Pastor Seymour was preaching. So he basically was trying to take over the show, competing, competition. He's trying to run things. And so he went, and when they said, no, you can't preach that, they made him go down the street, and he started his own ministry. So the next thing was competing ministries and doctrinal wars. Those were the four things that brought that thing to a screeching halt. But guess what? God is not fooled. When that thing imploded like a supernova, all of those people were sent out all over the world. And now people are getting filled in the Spirit in every denomination. People are walking closer to the Holy Spirit at every place all over the world. And so God is not defeated by that kind of stuff. Amen? So I just wanted to show you that. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but, huh? I never knew that. Well, girlfriend, there's something to learn every day, isn't there? I did not, I knew that Daddy Seymour was a black gentleman, but I didn't know he was the son of slaves. I didn't know a lot of what he went through. And they say he died of a broken heart. You know? Isn't that interesting? I mean, bless his heart, he's with the Lord, so he's good now. Amen? So, okay, so let's read this scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:1, laboring together as God's fellow workers. That word, that fellow workers right there, that's the word synergy. Synergy, or synergio. Working together with God's fellow workers with him, then we beg of you not to receive the grace of God in vain, that merciful kindness by which God exerts his holy influence on souls and turns them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them. Do not receive it to no purpose. Recently, Tim alluded to it, my latest journey that God's got me on is he said, I want you to study how to minister to those who are in recovery for addictions. And so I said, okay. So long story short, God got me in a place where I have access to a lot of people who are in recovery. And they asked me, my second day there or something, they asked me if I would address the staff on how to connect with their higher power. So I'm standing there. There's an anointing in this place. Have you ever been that, suddenly God shows up and there's an anointing in this place and then it all comes clear. Oh, I know what I'm supposed to do now. I said, I would be glad to do that. Thank you very much. And God just lobbed me a huge, big old softball to hit. God amazes me sometimes. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. I'm not somebody that knows about this stuff. I'm not some kind of expert. So why are they asking me to do that? Because God. Just because God. Yes, ma'am.
What's that 2 Corinthians 6:1? What's that
Amplified. What? The Amplified. The Amplified version. That's the version that we yell. No, sorry. Oh, no. Well, I use a lot of different translations. Is that okay? Am I allowed to do that here? You're not just the only King James church, are you? Everything I have memorized, it's here. Maybe this will make you feel better. Everything I have memorized is memorized in King James, because when I was a kid, that's the only Bible they let me have. They, you know, my parents didn't believe in anything else. You only read the King James. That's all you know. Yeah, so everything I have memorized from when I was a little kid, so if I say it out of memory, it comes out in King James language. And my kids are like, Mom, you're doing it again. You're doing the King James thing again. Can you speak regular language? Sorry. Sometimes when I pray, the memorized stuff comes out, and it, you know what I mean? Anyway, so this rehab facility, so they asked me to address the, so in this place, you have to use certain language to talk about God. You have to call God a higher power and stuff like that, or else they can't hear it. And which is funny. You know, it's kind of funny, isn't it? But it's okay. God's God. God's not intimidated by all that, you know. So I addressed the staff, and they were somewhat open. These people have good jobs. They have houses. They have cars. Their life is together. Okay? And they were somewhat open, and they appreciated what I said and humored me just a little bit. But then they gave me an opportunity to address the whole population. They said, well, now we'd like you to address the whole population and teach them how to connect with their higher power. And I said, okay, if you want me to do that, I'd be glad to do that. So when I addressed the whole population, now these people are in a desperate place. These people, this is a better option for them than being incarcerated. Okay? These people would be in jail if they weren't there. Are you following me? So these people are in a desperate place. So when I address them, God showed me how to lead the whole room in a sozo. We basically had a sozo for the whole population of this place. And they all said, I want to connect with you, my higher power. I want to connect with you. And I used the word God. I used the word Jesus, you know, because that's what I told them. I said, if you're here and you don't want to pray and you don't want to connect with your higher power, you don't want, when I pray to Jesus. So when I pray, that's how I'm going to pray. If you're offended by that or you don't want to do that, I'm going to invite you to just go. And two people walked out. And I said, God bless them, you know. And so then the rest of us prayed. And they forgave their friends and family, the people who had hurt them. They forgave themselves. God sozoed the whole room. Now, I mean, suddenly, there I am. I believe God wants to take us places where we didn't know we were going to be and show us how to do something powerful there. Are you following me? That's Holy Spirit synergy. Okay, so that's God. I mean, and it's not because of me. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants here. So operating in Holy Spirit synergy will stretch you. It will stretch us when we do that. You know that song? You know that song that says, I'm in over my head? Have you heard that song on the radio? That the girl sings and says, you know, I'm right where I want to be. I'm in over my head with you, God. And that's how it feels to be in walking in Holy Spirit synergy. We're in a place suddenly where we don't know what to do. We just have to go, God, just do what you're going to do. I don't know how to do this. I've never done this before. And then you just open your mouth and let God do it. Amen? Are you following me? If you're not cool with that, it's going to be a stretch. It's going to be a stretch to not know. Some people are people that need to know ahead of time. They're anticipators. They're planners. I'm not like that. I don't have to plan. It's a good thing because God doesn't let me plan much stuff. A lot of times he doesn't let me plan anything. So here's this situation in Acts chapter 13. Let me just tell you the story because we're not going to have time to read it all. But in Acts chapter 13, if you read this, here's Paul and Barnabas getting ready to go on a missionary journey. How many of you have ever been on a missionary journey? Okay, so what happens is they bring them in front of the church. You've seen that done here. Bring them in front of the church and they pray for them and send them out. And this guy, John Mark, decides he's going to go with them as their assistant. Okay? Are you following me? You've heard that story before, right? Okay. So they go out. They've got probably a host of people with them. Who knows who's with them? We don't know all the people that are with them. But we know it's John Mark. We know Paul and Barnabas are at least those three we know that went on this journey. Okay? So they go to this place and they have a run-in with a sorcerer. This sorcerer's name is Elimaeus. And they have a run-in with this guy. This guy's trying to control that region. He's trying to bring it under its spell. He's a magician. He's trying to get money from people as he does his, you know, his magic and sorcery that he's operating in. So it's all under this demonic stronghold, this little area, this town where they get sent to. Okay? So they have a run-in with this guy, and basically God shows up, and God does what God does when he has a run-in with the devil. He shuts the devil down, kicks the devil out. Well, after that whole episode, John Mark says, you know, this is too rich for my blood, guys. I did not expect this. And he packs up and he goes back to Jerusalem. And he leaves. So he leaves Paul and Barnabas to go on the next, you know, to the next town by themselves. Well, what happens next is big revival breaks out. Huge revival breaks out, and they've got standing room only. The whole town comes out to hear in the synagogue the next Saturday. The whole town comes out to hear, and they're trying to pray for everybody in the whole town. Just the two guys. When they could have used John Mark's help the most is when he had left. And they're there by themselves trying to do all the work. Are you following me? Walking in the synergy with Holy Spirit's going to mean sometimes you get stretched. Sometimes you get, you know, you weren't expecting all of this. You might end up in places that you didn't expect to be in. Are you following me? Do you still want to sign up? You're thinking about it. How many say yes, I want to sign up? Yes. Good. Amen. It's okay. One of the good things is John Mark comes back later and has a change of heart and wants to go on the journey again with them. So God's not done with John Mark. God loves John Mark too. It was just a little too much for him, you know? Okay, so here's some tips for sparking Holy Spirit synergy. You can go to that next slide. Tips to sparking Holy Spirit synergy and to keep that going in our lives and in our community, in our church, in our city. Amen. Solidify covenant love for one another before each assignment. I loved what you guys just did up here with this couple that are joining the church. That is so fantastic. I've never seen anything like done where it's almost like it's like a marriage. It's like we're committing to walk in relationship. That's fantastic. I love that. I think that's something maybe we should do that before every assignment. Maybe we should do something like that before we go on the mission field. Who knows? But solidify covenant love for one another before each assignment. Listen to the Holy Spirit together. If it's really God, other people will hear it too. I believe that. Trust and honor one another. Focus on corporate assignment. Focus on the corporate assignment, the thing that you're called together to do. I think if every marriage did these things, marriages would stay together better. Amen? Focus on the corporate assignment. Don't bring your own agenda. Learn the art of deference. That word deference, let me just tell you what it means real quick. Respect, submission, or yielding to the judgment, opinion, will of another. Respectful or courteous regard in deference to his wishes is the way to use it in a sentence. The next one is let Holy Spirit stretch your faith. How many of you know to be used by God, to go wherever he tells you to do, you're going to be stretched. Amen. Let God stretch your faith. And finish the assignment. Always finish what you've started. Did you know there's an anointing to finish well? Billy Graham is walking in it right now. Yes. He's walking in an anointing to finish well. I hope that that's what I want to grab hold of. Amen. I want to make it to 100, maybe. Wouldn't that be good? I better lose some weight, huh? If I'm going to do that. Tom took me running yesterday. My husband is my coach. And he says, come on, get your shoes on. We're going to go running. And I'm like, oh. I hate it, but I love it. I hate it, but I love it. Are you following me? I hate it, but I'm out there. And after I do it, I'm like, I love this. Why don't I do this? Because I hate it. But it's good, but I really hate it. So it's hard to breathe. We used to run and pray together. When I was in really good shape, we used to run and pray together. But anyway, after all of that missionary journeys where then Paul later on in his life is in prison and he starts writing down about his experiences, what some of the stuff that he experienced, okay? So that's where he writes a lot of the letters. So here's some of the stuff he has to say about some of those experiences with John Mark and with Barnabas, okay? So in 2 Corinthians 6, 2 to 13, I'm not sure I'm getting all the timelines right on all of that. Those details I kind of say like this to the details. Get in line. And sometimes they listen. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 6, 2 to 13. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. He learned the art of deference. He didn't always have it. I think when he was upset with John Mark, he might have had PTSD. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I think he might have. You know what I mean? People who have been through a traumatic experience, sometimes they get a little bit, their nerves are a little rattled. So he might have been suffering some of that. And if John Mark would have been there, maybe he could have helped him out a little bit more. Amen? So anyway, I think he's contemplating on all of this and writing stuff down about it. He learned that no one will find fault through his ministry if he learns the art of deference. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, gone without food. Paul was homeless. Paul was homeless for the sake of the kingdom. Just a thought. We prove ourselves by our purity. Paul was not about building the numbers. He was not about gaining, a bank account for his ministry. He was not about that, was he? The next one. Our understanding, our patience, our kindness by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love, we faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us. We serve God whether we get put on the brochure or not. We serve God whether we ever get a paycheck or not. Our bank account can be completely empty and we still serve God. I'm preaching that to myself. Okay. Whether they slander us or whether they praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. Whew. That's powerful. You can be completely poor and destitute and still have the Holy Spirit and bring deliverance and healing to someone else. If you have the Holy Spirit and God's in your life, you have everything. If you have Holy Spirit synergy, you don't need anything else. If you got the Holy Spirit is a person who wants to live with you, speak through you, talk to you every moment of every day. You know, it's not about your prayer life. It's not about how many hours you or I have prayed, because that's performance orientation. Hello? This is not like baseball, okay? Baseball, you get to hit the ball and run really good, and you get to win the game if you practice really, really hard and you train yourself. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place for training with the Holy Spirit. You got to be trained. The training is all about, how do I get out of the way? You know, the training is all about, I'm not going to do anything until you show me what to do. That's the training. You know what I'm saying? That's the way we train for it, for this. So this is not really about how many hours you've prayed, how many hours you've worked, how many hours you've clocked on the God prayer clock. Well, I pray more than you, you know. I get up every morning at 4 a.m. and I pray 4 hours before I start my day. How about you? Oh, I'm sorry, but we had a guy who said that to us. Hello? Some people think that way. They think it's all about how much they've performed, you know? And I said, well, God bless you. Please pray for me. I hope you pray for me. Some of that 4 hours, that would be awesome. Thank you for praying for me. So anyway, that gets me every time I read that. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. You can own nothing, and yet have everything. That's Holy Spirit synergy. It supersedes the laws of mathematics. And okay. Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you, and our hearts are open to you. There is no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. Ooh. I'm asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open your hearts to us. God is a father, and he wants us to respond. In contrast, I saw this meme, and I had to show you this. In contrast, this is a picture of the moment when you're trying to explain to Jesus how tough the persecution in your life really is. I mean, seriously. I mean, sometimes this generation of Christians is all about, you know, not wanting to get out of the comfort zone. American Christians have it so easy. We have it way easier than we realize, you know, and I'm with you. I'm in that same place. I just want God to kick me in the butt and send me out. You know, I really want him to kick me in the butt and send me out. He's doing it sometimes, but, you know, good thing about God is he knows how much we can handle. You know, he knows how much you can tolerate, and he might stretch you, but he doesn't, you know, kill you. Sometimes maybe he does. I mean, it could happen. It's okay if it does, right? Because we know where we're going. So if we die, we die, right? Okay, so anyway, so let's move on to the next one. In closing, I have to talk to you about Shifra and Pua. Do you know who Shifra and Pua are? Of course you do, because you're a genius. Shifra and Pua are two ladies that I want to tell you about. These two ladies are remarkable ladies. They're my heroes. They worked for Pharaoh, and we're going to just read this so that you have the background. Then Pharaoh, king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shifra and Pua. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby's a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. Good for them. So the king of Egypt called those midwives and said, "Why have you done this?" he demanded. "Why have you allowed the boys to live?" And they responded, "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women," the midwives replied. "They are more vigorous and they have their babies so quickly that we can't get there in time." They lied to their boss. They lied to their boss and God blessed them, okay? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. How we respond when someone's in the process of giving birth to a new ministry or a vision that they have, how we respond says a lot about who we're working for. You know what I'm saying? Do we respond with competition? Do we speak negatively or disparagingly? Do we act jealous about the things God's doing through them? If so, who are we working for? Are we trying to kill that baby? Are we trying to help that baby come to birth? That's learning the art of deference means that you put on the apron and you become the midwife and you help that ministry come forth and be birthed. You breathe with them until you pass out, if need be. Right? You sacrifice yourself to help that ministry come forward. Instead of getting competitive and saying, "Well, I'm going to go start my own. I could do that too. I could do it just as well as they could. And in fact, I think they're doing it wrong. I think I could do that. I can sing as well as they can." Or whatever. I'm just saying. Just saying. Am I allowed to say that? You know, God is helping the body of Christ get this thing on deference. So these ladies are my favorites now. You know, these ladies are my favorites. They knew how to help somebody else give birth to something. They saw what could be valuable. And then God gave them a family of their own because they were faithful. You know, if we help somebody else with a ministry or a project, if we be a servant and serve someone else and help them bring forth what God has, God will give us something of our own to do. And it will just be because he loves you and he wants to use you. Because you are unique. Every one of us are unique and he needs all of us. It's all hands on deck time. You know, it is. It's all hands on deck time. Amen? Okay, so this is a prophetic word that God gave to me for you guys. And it's, I don't know if it's for everybody. It might be for everybody. But I know it's for somebody in particular. I don't know who it's for. But I just wanted to share this with you. As I was praying, I was getting this. God is moving you and us into a season in which extraordinary grace is available to us. Grace to understand divine health in a whole new way. I believe that. I believe that what they were doing in the sozo, people were getting healed because they were delivered on the inside and their bodies were responding and getting healed. That's how God does things. You don't need... Is anybody else sick and tired of all the drug commercials on TV? I can yell at the TV. I'm not watching that anymore. Every time there's a drug commercial on, stop telling me I have to take that. I just need to go run 4 miles and take B vitamins, okay? All right, sorry. Got off track there for a second. Okay. I don't know why I thought of that. Anyway, you're used to people who are ADD, aren't you? I know you are. I already know the answer to that question. Okay. God is moving us into a season in which extraordinary grace is available to us. Oh, here it is. Grace to understand divine health in a whole new way. Grace to receive healing and to give healing. You don't have to take all that stuff. Now, I'm not telling you just go throw all your stuff in the toilet, your medication, and throw it in the toilet and flush it. I'm saying, hear God. Get the diagnosis from Holy Spirit of how to receive your healing. And whatever he says to do, do it. If he does say to throw that in, that medication in the toilet, then do it. And do it in faith. Understand what I'm saying? If he says run 4 miles, run 4 miles. If he says stop eating white sugar and white flour, then do it. I'm preaching to myself, girlfriend. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. Tina, you hear me? I know. I'm preaching to myself, girl. Okay. All right. God, grace to step out in faith and take action on a word from God. God is releasing right now grace to step out in faith and take action on a word that we've held in our hearts for a long, long time but never acted on it. There's grace right now to blow the dust off of that journal that you had years ago when God was right showing you stuff and you wrote it down and God said, I'm going to do this in your life. And you forgot about it. You closed that book and moved on and life happened and you forgot about it. Go find that journal. God is pouring out grace right now for those kind of words to come to fruition. Amen? And to be acted on. God is releasing grace to begin to do the things the Father has spoken to our hearts. God says, what you have not understood, this is what God said to me about you guys. God said, what you have not understood in times past, now you will understand it. What you have not had faith for in times past, now you will have faith for it. I am taking you deeper and I'm showing you the missing piece to the puzzle. And you will say, oh, of course it was there all along. Why didn't I see it before? The Lord says, don't be concerned about that. Just see it now and step out. Just see it now and step out. Don't beat yourself up because nothing is lost in the kingdom. That's something I'm learning from Sozo. There's nothing lost in the kingdom. Father God says, what looks like a risk in your natural mind and logic, do not discount it. What looks like a risk, don't discount it just because it looks like a you know, risk assessment is when we assess, could we succeed at this or not? That process of risk assessment doesn't always work with the Holy Spirit because he says to do outlandish things. He says to lay on your side for 3 years on one side and then turn over and lay on your other side for another 3 years. I mean, that's the kind of stuff he says to do. I mean, hello, take your belt and bury it in the side of the river, in the bank of the river, and then go get it. And I'm going to speak about it. What? But you just do it, right? Because, okay, so risk assessment doesn't always work. Father God says, what looks like a risk in your natural mind and your logic, don't discount it. Simply listen to my voice and follow my leading and directions. I am offering you the grace to turn what looks like a risk into a gold mine. A gold mine. Amen? And what threatened to become a disaster into a harvest field. For I am dropping prophetic ideas into your mind right now. Be open. Decide to be faithful, available, and teachable. I have created you in my image to create. I have put my spirit of creativity within you, my deposit of glory. Embrace my spirit of creativity and let go of the part of you that wants to fear the risk of stepping out on my creative direction for you. We've got to let go of that self-preserving part of our mind, the reptilian brain that wants to preserve and hold on to, and you know that part of our mind will keep us from stepping out. Amen. So the last slide is this picture reminded me of you guys. I saw some people in that picture that I thought I saw this morning. Doesn't this look like you guys? It totally does. So Holy Spirit synergy happens in connection, not isolation. So what God's saying to us is not only connect with each other, connect with him first, the Holy Spirit, in a more tangible way, connect with each other in reality, and we're connecting with churches. It's happening. I think we're in the midst of revival now. I think we really are. And I think God is sending us out to places that we never thought we would be. You know, that's true. I never thought I would be where I am in this place I'm working now. I would have never met these people had it not been for some of the hard things that I've been through. Things that I thought, really, God? Really? hello. I mean, have you ever been there where something happens and you go, really? This is what's going on in my life right now? I never saw this coming. Have you ever, has something broadsided you at times and you thought, what in the heck did I do wrong to have this happen? What did I do wrong? And God said, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. And I'll turn this bad situation around and I'll create it. I'll cause it to be a Holy Spirit synergy moment where I launch my power and my blessing out from it. I was just reading the people that I work with, they have to do assignments and write down their thoughts. And I was reading through this girl's thoughts and she said something that struck me. And I'm gonna say this and we're gonna close. She said, I never thought about God. Never gave God a thought until I was in jail facing 17 felony charges. And for the first time in my life, I prayed and I meant it. And I still have to face those charges, but I'm beginning to understand that I need my higher power to help me through this. Amen. You know, that girl, she's having a synergy, Holy Spirit synergy moment. That's a moment where the Holy Spirit can come through, you know? Are you following me? I just feel like, you know, if you're a person that would like to have, I would like, first of all, can some prophetic people come down and help me pray for people? Nikki and Audra and you, whoever is, you know who you are. Get yourself down here real quick. But if you're somebody that's not ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit before, you've never had a release in your prayer language, I would really like to, you know, I feel like God wants to connect you up today. Is that okay? Are we allowed to do that? You know, I just feel like it's time. It's time to get really, really close to Holy Spirit and let him operate in your life. Let him speak to you. And let me just tell you this story to help build your faith really quick, and then we're going to close and pray. And if you want to, we'll close and pray, and whoever wants to come get prayer. If you want a prophetic word, if you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, after we close and pray, you can come down and we'll pray for you. Let me tell you this story real quick. God did his thing where he takes me somewhere, and I found myself in the Ukraine, don't know the language. There I am in the Ukraine, and I'm teaching at a Bible school, and I don't know how to speak Ukrainian. And God said, I can speak Ukrainian. I said, I know you can. And he said, well, I can supernaturally give you Ukrainian. And I said, now you're stretching my faith, God. What do you think you're doing? Stretching my faith all the time. And so there I am. And I prophesied to people, gave them prophetic words. And whatever they heard me in their language and they knew what I was saying. Because a translator was telling me what they were saying back to me. And it sounded like they knew what I was saying. So that happened. And then the people are there talking and they're saying to each other in Ukrainian, do you think she wants to go to lunch with us? I thought they were speaking English. I truly thought they were speaking English. And so I answered them in English and I said, yeah, sure, I'd love to go to lunch with you. And they said, do you speak Ukrainian? I said, no. And they said, ooh, we better be careful what we say around her. I thought they were speaking English, but they were speaking Ukrainian to each other, and I understood them, okay? And so I'm just saying, where Holy Spirit synergy supersedes mathematics, he also supersedes language, okay? So that's kind of what you get filled with the Spirit, and you begin to speak an unknown language. The other thing was I wrote a note to the girl who cleaned my room and left her a huge tip. I left all the rest of my money in an envelope for her, all the Ukrainian money I had, I left it in an envelope for her, invited her to the church, and wrote it in Ukrainian, in the language. And I gave the note to somebody. I said, can you read this, please, and make sure that I didn't screw it up? And he read it. He said, did you write that? I said, yeah. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's good. In fact, you use the word for love that's an intimate kind of love, which really makes sense in this case with about Jesus and everything. I said, okay, good. So, I mean, I'm just saying, if you step out in faith, God can release that. You know what? God's bigger than this gray matter up here. Amen? All right, so we're going to close and pray. And if you would like to have a prophetic word or be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can come down. So, Father, we just thank you so much that you are so big and so awesome. And Lord, I thank you for this group of people who loves you so much. And God, we just pray right now that you would connect them to the Holy Spirit synergy, take them places they've never thought they would ever be. And Lord, I thank you for doing through them the things that you want to do. Lord, we just breathe on that prophetic word that you gave, Lord, that you will brush the dust off of those words that they had from you and bring them to pass. We just say right now where there's been false starts, we say, we hear the gun going off. It's time. Dive in the pool. The water's fine, and God's moving you forward. So God, we just thank you right now for moving the people forward, for showing them what to do next, and help them be led by your Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, that you are here. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're speaking to hearts. Lord, help them to write it down. Help them to preserve their dreams that you give them, even in their sleep. You give to your beloved, even in their sleep. Lord, we thank you for doing that for these folks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come forward for prayer. If you want prayer, come on. Come on down.